often read from various translations of the Bible. I find that this exercise is both useful and informational for my own personal study. Recently, I was reading in the J.B. Phillips translation of the New Testament and came across these words in 1 Thessalonians 4 at verse 3. God's plan is to make you holy. It isn't uncommon for people to comment to me that they wonder what God's plan is for their lives. I'm sure that what they mean by that is, what is God's plan with reference to their occupations or marriage or to mission or such things as these. But if you stop and think about it, what we have here in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, is the inspired answer to that question. God's plan for you is to make you holy. Now, if you think about that divine plan for just a minute, you realize that it will have a great impact in all of the areas of your life. Your occupation, your marriage, your mission, your recreation, all of these things are going to be affected by this divine plan to make you holy. All of these things are going to be addressed by God through His Word and will have something to say to each of these things, whether or not you choose to be an engineer or a school teacher or whatever, whether or not you choose to be married or not. All of these things are going to be addressed in one way or another by God's Word, because God's plan, this is it, folks, this is it. He does not plan for you necessarily to be this, that, or the other as far as the world is concerned, except that He plans for you to be holy. And God's plan for you to be holy began before time began. I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to begin to read at verse 15. And as we begin to read, you notice that the subject matter here is holiness. And not just the holiness of God, but your holiness and my holiness. So here's what I read. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here with fear. For as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the world began and was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now you'll notice, as I said, the subject matter is holiness. The subject matter is your holiness, my holiness, but notice that all of the plan of God to make you and me holy began before the foundation of the world. Also turn with me to Genesis chapter 3 at verse 15. And listen as God speaks to the devil after the sin of Adam and Eve. And here's what God says to the devil. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is a passage that is generally accepted to be, and correctly so, the first prophecy recorded in Scripture of the coming of Jesus Christ, by whom and through whom we are made holy. But notice that it happens at the very dawn of time. The plan began before time began, and one of the very first things that happens then, after time has begun, is the annunciation of the coming of the Son of God, by whom we will be made holy. Now, what doors are going to be opened to me in my life? I do not know the answer to that question. And it really isn't all that important to me. What I do know, though, is this, that before time began, God planned that I should be a holy person. God planned that you should be holy. Didn't plan that you should be a school teacher. Didn't plan that you should be a coach. Didn't plan that you should like fishing or sewing or all of those kinds of things. He planned, folks, this is his purpose, that you should be a holy person. And the plan begins, in fact, for each individual as that individual comes into Jesus Christ. We might call this, for lack of better terminology, the actualization of the plan for each individual. Yes, the plan began before time, but what about you and me? Where did it begin to happen for us? If you'll notice in 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 17, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is, as some translations say, a new creation. But notice the connections here. In Christ, one is a new creature. That, my friends, is where the plan begins, in fact, for you, in your life, when you come to be in Christ. But the next question comes, how can I know when and where I am in Christ? How do I get there? And I'm glad that you've asked that question, and I want you to turn to a familiar passage for many of us, in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, because the answer is found here. And we read this, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For, or because, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Baptism is into Christ. Where does God's plan for me to be holy actually begin in my life? It begins, my friends, with my being in Christ. It is then that I become a new creation. Romans, the 6th chapter, at verse 4, also helps to answer this question. Listen, therefore, at verse 4, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk, listen to it, in newness of life. Where does my new life begin? What is the beginning of my life of holiness? It begins when I am baptized into Christ. But what has begun then must be continued. This new creation must develop. It must mature. In your Bibles, would you please turn to the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews and read along with me just a little bit of verse 1. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Keep in mind that we're thinking now of what has begun by my being in Christ must continue. And here's what we read. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. You see, this beginning is just the beginning. There must be a going on to perfection, to maturity, the development of this new creature. And you wonder, why was the writer of the book of Hebrews so concerned about people who have been Christians for some period of time? Why is he saying to them, go on unto perfection? Look at chapter 5, verse 12, and you'll see the concern the writer has. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, oh, that is saying so profoundly, something has happened. There hasn't been the development there should have been. When for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become, notice that, they've become such as have need of milk and not of meat. Apparently, there was some growth. But now, there has been retrogression, and they have become as those who still are infants, those who are needing milk. There hasn't been the development. Well begun, oh, perhaps so. But there hadn't been the development there needed to be. In 2 Corinthians, at chapter 7, and verse 1, the apostle writes concerning this business of holiness, and he says this, and we're going to come back to this verse in a little while, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Now look at these words, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What has begun must be continued in our lives. And there's something interesting that the apostle writes over in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, and there at verses 13 and 14. Would you listen to it as I read? Verse 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now look at the first part of the reading. I count not myself to have apprehended. I have not arrived at total spiritual perfection. He recognizes, though this man is an apostle, though this man is a peerless preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he recognizes that there is yet more for him to do in the matter of his perfecting holiness. Well begun is not all done. Oh, how often have I known of new Christians who have been so excited and so exuberant in their newfound faith, and yet later to hear of them that there has been very little development in their lives, spiritually speaking, or tragically, that they have fallen away from the faith altogether. What begins must be continued. In the book of Colossians, in chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 21 down through verse 23, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight if, oh, did you notice that word? If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Notice in verse 22, wonderful assurances, wonderful promises. We are presented to God holy and unblameable. God's purpose is to make us holy. That's His plan. But notice the condition that is set out so clearly in verse 23. It begins with the word if. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Your holiness depends, my friends, on your continuing. And so, yes, what has begun when I was baptized into Christ must then be continued in the course of my life. And if we do not continue in following through with the plan of God, the very best that we can say is that we'll be spiritually stunted, and the worst, that we will return to the wild and undomesticated state, just as occurs in the world of nature. So the ultimate objective, well, to begin well, to zealously pursue the prize, and to win the victory. Over in 2 Timothy, in chapter 4, at verses 6 and 7, I am ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. And just as an aside here, the language in verse 6 comes from an expression which means the casting off of the ropes of a ship from the wharf and setting sail on a trip bound for a destination. So the apostle says, I'm ready for my anchor to be raised. I'm ready for the ropes to be cast off. Why? I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now, here's the objective. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, but not to me only, but also to all them that love his appearing. Here is the victor's crown, the crown of life. It's not the royal crown, though that is mentioned from time to time. This is the victor's crown, having run the race successfully. I win the prize. But notice that the prize is not just for the Apostle Paul. He says very clearly, it's for all of those people who have submitted to God's plan. But God's plan requires, my friends, what is written so clearly in verse 7, encapsulated there, is the key to our winning the prize. Look what he says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's what's required if God's plan is going to bring us ultimately home to heaven. But I want you to remember, folks, that heaven is only for holy people. It's not for the unholy. And I have every reason to believe, based on Scripture, part of which I will read to you in a minute, that there are going to be a great many folks who are going to be surprised at the judgment. A passage which I read frequently, not necessarily for everyone else's benefit, but for mine, found in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, beginning at verse 21. And as I said, this is what signals to me that they're going to be very surprised people at the judgment. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? Why, we were so religious and so charitable. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How surprised these people were. But you go right back up to verse 21, and he tells you why they're not going to go to heaven. They did not do the will of his Father which is in heaven. Maybe holiness began when they were baptized into Jesus Christ. But what began was not continued. They perhaps continued to be religious, but somewhere along the line, they did not continue to conform themselves to the kind of life God wanted them to live. That brings us then, my friends, to God's plan and you. I need to tell you this morning that nothing is going to happen until you decide to become an active participant in God's plan for you. That means that holiness is once and at once God's work and the work of the individual. Did you get that? It is at once not just God's work, but is at once God's work and your work. Either one alone isn't going to make you holy. God cannot force it upon you. Nor can I decide for myself what plan I want to follow to be holy. It takes both working in concert if I am to be holy. So my being holy and my winning the crown are not things that are going to happen just automatically as I sit passively and wait. I have a part to play. I am an active participant in this whole process. There's a little verse over in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation at verse 17. I want you to listen to some of the emphasis that we have here. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Now listen carefully. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now, folks, listen. God has benevolently and graciously provided for us. His plan is perfect. And if we just follow His plan, yes, we'll be holy. And yes, we'll win the crown. But look what John writes. You have to make a decision. You have to make a choice. You are an active participant in this whole thing. And your decision will involve believing in Jesus Christ and in all of the things that He claimed to be, repenting of your sins, turning away from a life that is selfish and self-centered, a life that at very best has not paid careful attention to the Word and will of God. And then your decision involves your being baptized, the place of your new beginning. Ah, but that's not all. For what is begun must be continued. And the continuation of what you begin when you're baptized involves the total commitment of your complete life. Now, would you go back with me to 2 Corinthians? I mentioned a while ago I would come back to this. And I want to read beginning this time in chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Then we're going to read across the chapter division to verse 1 of chapter 7. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, what promises? That God is willing to be our father? Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The continuation of your life of holiness is going to call for separations and separateness from things that once were so appealing and in which you were so willingly involved. And this is difficult for people. To put aside the old habits and the old haunts and the old associations, that's not easy. But the Lord, by inspiration and written here by the Apostle Paul, calls for separateness. We can no longer be a part of those things which once were so appealing, but which worked against our holiness. And so difficult is this, that for a great many people, Christian people who are so well-intentioned, it becomes their downfall. I just can't turn loose of the old habits. No matter how they work against my spiritual life, my holiness, I just can't turn loose of those things. And I've enjoyed these associations so long and so much, no matter how damaging they may be to me, I can't just turn loose of these things. And so finally, the effects are seen in the spiritual development of that person who once made a decision to be baptized into Christ and therein to become a new creature, have a new beginning, to begin to understand God's plan for you to make you holy. But God's plan is no longer all that important. My habits are important to me. My recreation is important to me. My friends are important to me, but I just can't give these things up. And so spirituality goes by the wayside, and holiness is affected. And listen, remember, heaven is only for holy people. His power can make you what you ought to be. Let him have his way with thee. Words from an old and dear hymn. But his power can only make you what you ought to be if you let him have his way totally and completely with your life. So we have decisions to make, don't we? My prayer would be always that we would decide in favor of our souls. While we sing this next song, could I be bold enough to suggest that you think about God's plan for you? Not in terms of all of those mundane material things about which we so often wonder. Could I ask you to think about God's plan to make you holy? And how are you fitting into that plan? Have you become an active participant in the plan? If you haven't, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You've got to decide. And you've got to participate in God's plan. If there's any way that we can help you in fitting into that plan of God this morning, all you need to do is step in the aisle, come to the front, let us know what we can do to serve you. Maybe you need to be baptized into Christ. That's where you become a new creature according to Scripture. Not before. And if you need to be a new creature and you're not one, then you're not fitting into God's plan for your life at all. Doesn't matter whether you're an engineer, school teacher, fisherman, or whatever. You're just not fitting into His plan. And you've got to make that decision. And only you can make it. There may be folks in this assembly who made that beginning perhaps years ago, but who need to listen to those words of Hebrews 6, verse 1, let us go on, therefore, unto perfection. Because we've let things slip, and we've let things interfere in our lives. And holiness is not our number one priority. Not fitting into God's plan. I want to fit into my plan for my life. You need to repent of that, my friends, and ask God's forgiveness. And you need the prayers of brothers and sisters in your behalf. We want to pray with you. But you need to keep in mind, God's power can only make you what you ought to be if you let Him have His way with you. If you need to come now while we stand and while we sing.
Jesus, the loving shepherd, come.